Welcome in, everybody, to the Locked On Eagles podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's going on? My name is Lou DiBiase, your host. Today is June 26th, and I'm happy to be joining you today on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I'm excited for this show. We got a really good one. Graham Barfield of FantasyGuru.com is going to be talking about all things Eagles and fantasy football today, which is going to be really fun because, look, it's the dead period right now when it comes to the NFL news. Eagles training camp doesn't start till July 25th, so we got fantasy football, though. That's what's coming up. All the fantasy magazines are coming out. Drafts, I'm sure there are some early drafts, although I don't do mine until August just because I like to avoid the injuries. And, you know, I've been doing a keeper league for about 8 years now with the friends I've grown up with, and when everyone comes back in town, they all come back, and in late August we end up doing our offline draft, which is awesome. I think that's what I love about fantasy football too, is that for me it's kind of kept our friendships together. You know, a lot of guys are going to school in different cities and different states and getting jobs elsewhere, and I think that's what fantasy football does a great job of, is kind of keeping friends together, and that's what my league has done, and I'm really excited for this fantasy season. So we're going to have Graham Barfield on to talk about this deep, deep Eagles offensive group right now, which is, you know, four receivers deep when it comes to maybe productive fantasy players, tight ends. We got Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. What's going to happen at running back? Is Jay Ajayi someone you can target in the mid rounds, maybe earlier than that? Or is Corey Clement someone that could end up being the more valuable Eagles running back? And how does Darren Sproles affect Corey Clement? You know, there's... And, of course, Carson Wentz. Where is Wentz going in drafts with his leg injury? Although I think, and again, Carson Wentz looks amazing 7 months into his rehab, and I think he's going to be okay. Is the mobility a concern? Is he going to run as much? Which, honestly, although it doesn't, he's not a Cam Newton-esque player where he's going to run for 700 yards and 10 touchdowns. He's going to extend plays, which end up making the type of plays to Nelson Agholor against the Redskins in Seattle, which are huge plays for fantasy football. So where would Carson Wentz go after the injury? We'll get all into that with Graham Barfield. So let's get to it now. It's Graham Barfield, Senior Fantasy Analyst of FantasyGuru.com. All right, so joining me here now on the Locked On Eagles podcast, he is a Senior Fantasy Analyst for FantasyGuru.com. It's Graham Barfield. Graham, how are we doing today?
Doing well, man. I know we've been trying to link up all offseason. I'm sorry we've had a bunch of scheduling issues, but it's good to talk to you today, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I've been trying to get you on because, you know, Graham, it's fantasy football season, you know what I'm saying? Because it's pretty much the dead season with the NFL. Training camp doesn't start for a few weeks, so I know, you know, at least I prefer to have my drafts later on in the summer just, you know, to avoid injuries, and just the later the better. But I'm gearing up. I know I'm starting to prep for my leagues, and I'm sure, I mean, you've been doing a lot of work at Fantasy Guru, and I'm sure you're gearing up for your stuff. So it's the time of year now where I think it's perfect to talk fantasy football. And here on our Eagles podcast, I think the Eagles are an interesting team when it comes to fantasy because, you know, they're deep offensively, and you know, they love to spread the ball around. You look at Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, and Nelson Agholor. They were all around that 800-yard mark, with Agholor and Ertz scoring 8 touchdowns apiece. Alshon scored 9. So although each player consistently found the end zone, nobody, however, surpassed 1,000 yards through the air or on the ground, with LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement. No one had over 1,000 yards on either side of the passing game or the running game. Do you think that balance is a positive or a negative for fantasy owners, since it gives a lot of options for players that could score, that you could pick up on your team, but there's not consistently that one or two guys that maybe you can rely on each and every week to dominate? Do you think this Eagles offense is a one you're targeting in fantasy, or is it something you're avoiding?
It's absolutely one I'm targeting. Zach Ertz has been like one of the most consistent tight ends over the last couple of years. In fact, only Jordan Reed has averaged more receptions per game than Ertz over the last 3 years. Ertz also has 70 catches and 800 yards in 3 straight seasons in that span. So Ertz is a fantasy stud. I'm more than fine to take him in the third or fourth round of my 10 or 12 team league drafts if I don't like the rest of the board. There's just so many guys here. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about the backfield and Corey Clement. Yes. I like Mike Wallace late. I kind of like all of the pieces here except for Alshon Jeffrey. I think he's really the only mispriced player on this team right now.
Why don't you like Alshon? Is it just based on where his value is, where he's going in drafts, or is it, well, what about Alshon are you trying to avoid?
I just think the receivers that are going in Alshon's range, Alshon typically goes in the fourth to early fifth round. I think it's a mixture of two things. It's the receivers that are on the board that go concurrently with Jeffrey, but also at the same time, the biggest concern for Alshon and subsequently Carson Wentz, who we'll also talk about here in a moment, is that he's kind of touchdown dependent. Last year, 28% of Jeffrey's fantasy points came from receiving touchdowns. That was by far the highest rate of his career, and it was actually the fifth highest rate in the NFL last year among all qualified receivers. So Jeffrey is a little TD dependent. Maybe he gets a little more chemistry in now year two with Carson Wentz and a full season of Carson Wentz. But for me, I don't really enjoy taking touchdown dependent receivers in the fourth round of my fantasy drafts, especially in PPR leagues, just because their week to week floors and ceilings is just a little bit lower, and you kind of have to bank on positive touchdown variance for them to hit their cost.
So maybe I know Zach Ertz, he's going to be a top tight end, maybe outside of Gronk, and then probably you would consider taking him or Travis Kelce maybe at that tight end two spot. Are there any other Eagles maybe that are matchup proof? I mean, because Alshon, like you just said, he was dependent on touchdowns last year, so you're probably not starting him week after week. Are there any Eagles here outside of Ertz that you expect to be consistently a starter in fantasy, or is it all of them you're basically doing by the matchup and how they've been playing each week? You know, maybe they go to Ajayi more a few weeks in the season, maybe Aguilar gets hot. Is anybody else outside of Ertz going to be extremely reliable for this offense?
I'll be really interested to see how Doug Peterson deploys Jay Ajayi. Last year, obviously, Ajayi played 10 games with the Eagles, and that included 80%. Actually, after Ajayi was traded to the Eagles, he only saw around 36% of team carries, and 32 individual running backs last year saw a higher share of his team's carries. But obviously, now LeGarrette Blount is gone, 37% of the Eagles' carries are out the door. And we know Peterson loves running back by committees, but I'm expecting Ajayi to be the head of that committee. And this is an Eagles offense that should in theory, generate a bunch of layup touchdown scoring opportunities. I'm kind of warming up on Ajayi in the fifth round when he falls into the fifth round as my RB2 or RB3. I was kind of expecting the hype to be a little bit higher on him, and pretty much his value is actually kind of stagnated in that fourth and fifth round. So I'm more than fine with him based on team build and just because we want pieces of great offenses, and Ajayi's actually his cost has actually stayed palatable.
Where would you want Ajayi for your roster? What role do you want him having on your fantasy team? Is he someone that you expect to be a running back too throughout the season, or is he more of a flex play here and there? You know, obviously in a PPR league it's different, because I feel like, you know, although I kind of think Ajayi is more talented as a pass catcher than people give him credit for, obviously they're probably not going to use him that much in that area when they have Corey Clement and Darren Sproles, so I don't think in that area they'll consistently use him. But is Ajayi here a running back two, more of a flex, and where would you be comfortable taking him, let's say just in a standard draft, non-keepers, everyone's available, where would you be okay taking a Jay Ajayi?
Well, that's a great point about Corey Clement, actually. He actually out-targeted Ajayi 23 to 22 after Ajayi joined the Eagles. So I'm big on Clement in the 11th and 12th round, too. I love taking him as my RB5 or RB6. But actually, I think I'm kind of into Ajayi more so when he's my third running back off the board. If I'm going kind of running back heavy in the first 4 or 5 rounds and Ajayi slips into that fifth round, I really like taking him as my RB3 just because his touchdown ceiling and also perhaps Peterson kind of gets away from some of the running back by committee stuff and gives Ajayi just a few more carries, few more snaps per game. That could be huge for his ceiling. So I'm into him, especially when he's my RB3. I would not feel too comfortable as with him as my second running back, though.
Is he a player that I don't know if I don't I don't I mean he could be safe as a fantasy pick because he's going to get the majority, basically what LeGarrette Blount's role was last year, that's going to be Ajayi, and like you said, he doesn't have to worry about Blount taking carries away from him. I think Corey Clement is a better running back when it comes to running the football than people give him credit for. I mean, when he came in last year undrafted, nobody thought he was this pass catching type of running back that he emerged as last year. So although I do think he is a good option as a just a plain traditional running back, he is going to be used more in the passing attack. So is Sproles. So without Blount there, Ajayi should be the guy when it comes to short yardage, probably red zone. Is he a safe pick, or is there risk to him? You know, obviously you said you would like him as a RB3, but I'm just trying to think, because he's going to be relied upon for that consistent role, does that make him safe, or is he risky because, you know, if Clement or Sproles really get hot sometimes, Ajayi could be left on the sidelines?
Well, that's my biggest concern, and I'm not knocking Doug Peterson here. He's obviously a genius and has schemed the Eagles into an excellent offense, but he does love running back by committees, and that's pesky for fantasy owners. In fact, in Peterson's 2 year span as the Eagles coach, a running back has played over 60% of team snaps only three times, and it was all done by Darren Sproles in 2016. Peterson loves to rotate his running backs, but the big difference this year is LeGarrette Blount is gone, and
Right.
Ajayi, in theory, is kind of the only big bruising first and second down running back on this team. I do agree. I think I'm with you about Clement and Sproles stealing some targets, which will ultimately hurt Ajayi's ceiling. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he has, you know, 8-10 a touchdown appeal on this Eagles, you know, high-powered Eagles offense.
So, I mean, 'cause to me, I think Darren Sproles being back in this offense poses a bigger threat to Clement and his role with the team than Jay Ajayi. So, yeah, I do see that Jay Ajayi really has a niche right now in this backfield that, I mean, outside of Matt Jones, not anyone else really has, is this bigger running back that between the tackles is going to consistently be someone that's tough to bring down. Are you concerned that with Darren Sproles back, that might hurt Corey Clement as a sleeper potential breakout fantasy candidate this year? I think he's going to have an extensive role with the offense, but Darren Sproles is back, and although he's older and coming off an injury, I still feel like Doug Peterson's going to want to use him in this offense. What do you like, and what do you think about Corey Clement as a fantasy prospect this year, and does Sproles have an impact on his value?
Yeah, Corey Clement is one of my highest owned best ball running backs right now. I love taking him in the 11th, 12th, 13th round of these things just because we know he's going to have some big blow-up weeks attached to this offense. I'm less concerned about Darren Sproles, although he's been a very fun player to watch throughout his NFL career and a very he's broken a lot of molds for running backs in the NFL. He's 35 years old now. He's coming off an ACL tear. Kind of sounded like the Eagles weren't going to bring him back, then ultimately did. I'm not too concerned about Sproles and have very little interest in him in late rounds in fantasy.
Interesting. What would be to me, if I had to ask you this, the average draft range you would consider taking these Eagles running backs? So, Ajayi, Corey Clement, Darren Sproles. Where have you seen these guys getting taken in mock drafts? Where, you know, an average draft position out of these three, where are they all getting taken, do you think, in throughout the summer for fantasy drafts?
Well, Ajayi has a pretty large range. I've seen him go anywhere as early as the third round, early third round, mid third round, to as late as the fifth round, into the sixth round. Right now, his ADP is at RB22, and that feels right. Like I said, he will have a high range of outcomes within your draft, but I'm more than fine taking Ajayi in the late fourth, early fifth round. Corey Clement is going much later. He's in the RB50 plus range right now, going in the 11th and 12th round, and Sproles is kind of undrafted. And keep in mind, this is all for 12 team leagues. So in a 10 team league, Ajayi's ADP will change round wise just a little bit. But yeah, I'm kind of into both of them, and I'm actually okay stacking both of them in best ball leagues to kind of give you the, I guess in theory, 80% of the Eagles' backfield production this year, just because we want pieces of great offenses, and I think we're all expecting the Eagles to be great again this year.
So before we get to Carson Wentz, let's go back to receivers real quick. And I mentioned Nelson Aguilar, who again came out of nowhere last year, almost 800 yards. He had eight touchdowns in the slot. He was such a reliable receiver inside, especially on third downs. One of the most consistent, reliable receivers on third downs last year of any receiver, not just in the slot, but on the outside. Although it was just one season and the Eagles added more on offense, is Aguilar somebody you can trust that can be consistently reliable this year as maybe a flex play? Or do you expect with Mike Wallace coming in there, Dallas Goedert, do you think Aguilar already reached his ceiling with what he did last year?
He could have definitely reached a ceiling, but I'm also into Aguilar as a wide receiver three or four. I mean, he's going in the eighth, ninth, 10th rounds of drafts right now, and he saw 25 fewer targets than Alshon Jeffrey last year, Louis. But he actually basically had the same fantasy output. In fact, Jeffrey was the wide receiver 28 with 11.9 fantasy points per game, and Aguilar was a wide receiver 30 right behind him at 11.8. So one of the big reasons I'm not necessarily too happy with Jeffrey's ADP right now is just because Aguilar is going in the eighth and ninth round, and in PPR leagues he will have a, you know, pretty much similar floor as Jeffrey, even though his touchdown ceiling isn't as high. So yeah, I'm into Jeffrey. Excuse me, I'm into Aguilar in PPR specific situations as my wide receiver three or four as well.
So Mike Wallace, he's a guy that you said earlier you like late. What do you, where is Mike Wallace? I mean, I think he's going to be an upgrade over Torrey Smith last year. You think he has an extensive role in this offense to the point where maybe he's a waiver wire guy, a plug and play with certain weeks? Do you think he's, I mean, he wasn't normally throughout his career, he's been seen as that, that speedy deep threat, but I feel like he became more reliable, like in Baltimore too. He played a lot out of the slot. Is he going to be someone that you can only really rely on to make big plays down the field in order to have a productive fantasy week? What do you like about Mike Wallace?
Yeah, this is, I'm talking specifically about best ball leagues where you don't have to set your weekly roster and you go on My Fantasy League or draft.com to draft your
Right.
team, and basically just draft your team and whoever scores the most points at the end of the year wins. I love Mike Wallace in those types of formats just because we know he's going to have three or four week winning type weeks where he goes 3 for 80 and a touchdown
True.
as
Yeah.
the Eagles field stretcher. And I'm with you. I think he's a massive upgrade over Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith is a fantastic guy, but he just doesn't have a lot of juice left. Per Josh Hermsmeyer's NFL game speed, which is tracked players over the last 2 seasons, Mike Wallace, in terms of NFL game speed, is much, much faster on the field than Torrey Smith was last year. So I'm definitely into Wallace in best ball leagues. In redraft, yeah, it's going to be a little difficult to predict when those big weeks are coming. Obviously, in great matchups, we'll like Wallace a little bit more. But yeah, I think he's more of a waiver wire guy in redraft. But for best ball, I want, you know, we want cheap receivers attached to great offenses. And I know I keep coming back to that with the Eags, man, but I really do like how everyone is kind of set up here.
Interesting. Let's go to quarterback here. Carson Wentz, through 7 months of his rehab, Graham, I think he looks really good. If you didn't know he got injured and you were just watching the tapes of OTAs and mini camps, right now it doesn't look like he's being restricted at all by that torn ACL. Earlier throughout the spring when he was doing full sprints, you could kind of see a limp that was pretty noticeable, but even now you saw him running wind sprints and just, sprinting across the field, and he looked good. So from a fantasy perspective, where do you have Wentz ranked amongst other quarterbacks, and where are you comfortable taking him this year? I don't think people are going to have to be worried about his mobility, which is, I think, something that makes him great for fantasy, not just because he's not like Tyrod Taylor where he's going to run for 500 rushing yards and that's what you're going to rely upon in fantasy, but it does help. I mean, just look at week one against the Redskins, that play where he evades four different pass rushers and score and gets it down to Aguilar. It's a part of him that allows for big plays to be made. So I'm not concerned about it. Are you with Wentz's legs, and where do you have him in your rankings currently?
I'm a little bit lower on Carson Wentz, I think, than the rest of the industry, and it really comes down to touchdown regression. I'm with you. I think all of the signs coming out of Eagles beat writers, out of Eagles camp, is very, very positive about his ACL. I'm not as concerned about his knee as I am, let's say, Deshaun Watson, who's coming off his second torn ACL in his career. He tore his left ACL in college. This is Wentz's first major knee injury, but I'm actually more concerned about the touchdown regression than anything. Last year, Carson Wentz was second in passing touchdown rate at 7.5% behind Deshaun Watson. And Louis, since 2000, there have been 46 individual seasons in which a quarterback had a passing touchdown rate of 6% or higher. And only one of those, a guy by the name of Peyton Manning, increased their touchdown rate in the following season. So
Interesting.
regression is going to hit Wentz in the touchdown department. I think he can make up for it, like you said, with his legs and perhaps throwing just a little bit more if the Eagles go a little bit more pass heavy. They were very balanced last year
True.
in all facets of the game, especially in the red zone. But yeah, touchdown regressions is going to hit Wentz, and he's kind of typically goes in the sixth, seventh, eighth round. And this year, it's quarterback. I've been harping on this on Twitter. Quarterback is so freaking deep this year, man.
I
There
feel like
are
it always is,
literally.
right?
Well, especially this year, there's 25, 26, 27 like draft-worthy quarterbacks, and when
Yeah.
Carson Wentz is kind of creeping in that sixth, seventh ADP range, I can't really go there just because I'm a late-round quarterback guy at heart, and
Same.
especially
Same.
since there are so many guys this year.
Yeah, I see that. I don't think I've ever taken a quarterback outside of, I think the highest I've ever done it was maybe Cam Newton in like the sixth or seventh round. I've never been a guy either. So you think Wentz is going to go too high for your liking?
I will say, I think in kind of your run-of-the-mill family and friend leagues, I think Wentz will go too high, and I'll probably be avoiding him in kind of more casual situations. But in sharper leagues and these kind of best ball leagues, he does slip into the eighth and ninth range, and I'm more into him in that cost range. But yeah, in general, in your average league, I'm kind of out on Wentz this year. But I am obviously very bullish on, Ajayi, Clement, Aguilar, and Ertz here.
Interesting. Graham, do you have a favorite NFL team?
I don't. So I've been
Okay.
asked this before. I was born in North Carolina in the
Yeah.
mountains, kind of ostracized from all sports teams. So I legitimately don't have a sports team in any of the major sports.
Okay.
I lived in Jacksonville for 12 to 13 years, and I kind of became a quasi Jags fan. So
Okay.
if I have one allegiance, I guess it would be the Jags. But no, I don't really root for any teams. It's actually more fun that way. I think
I
just
can see that.
because
That's
you
what I'm
don't.
like in the NBA. I just follow teams, or like players, storylines, so I can definitely see it.
You don't get hurt, man. You don't
True.
get hurt. Your feelings never get hurt when your team loses.
That's a good point. I was going to ask you. See, I'm not a fan of drafting, and you've talked of the Eagles offense, so I mean, I do, and the fact that I know a lot, I'm very familiar with these players, it makes me more enticed to take them, but I just a part of me as a fan doesn't like watching the Eagles game, and if I own Alshon Jeffrey and he scores a 40-yard touchdown, instead of enjoying the Eagles, taking the lead over a team, I'm thinking, ooh, that was, 7 points on my fantasy score. It's just a thing that I don't like. So I was just wondering if you're a fan of drafting players of your favorite team, just because like I can't bring myself to do it. I used to own LeSean McCoy in a keeper league for probably 3 years straight, and it's just I like to separate fantasy and my fandom. It's two parts separately I like to enjoy as a football fan. And I don't know, I don't like owning Eagles, but it's tough because there's just so many good options this year with the team.
One thing I'll say is trying to get rid of bias as much in your decision making is very, very important.
Yeah,
Obviously,
true.
I'm in a very small minority of people that just doesn't have a favorite team, so I kind of don't have to worry about this so much. But yeah, I mean, this is a common thing with a lot of fans and a lot of people that cover teams or what have you, is they feel either one way, negatively or positively, that they don't want to own players. And the biggest thing I could say is just try to separate how you feel about the team personally and how you want them to go to the playoffs and win Super Bowls. And on the other hand, just try to score fantasy points. Look at it
Right.
just as objectively as possible. And for me, I look at this team objectively and I see a lot of players that I like, not necessarily Wentz or Jeffrey at cost, but we discussed everyone here. I mean, there's a lot to like on this team.
What about just before we let you go, the rookie in second round tight end Dallas Goedert? He's someone I'm interested in. I think in the red zone they're going to use him a lot, but again, they just spread the ball around so much. Is he someone that maybe you could see as like a late round, maybe waiver wire guy you might want to kick the tires on? Because just on tape, he looks like a Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce type where he could just go off as a receiving tight end, and they might use him in the slot a lot. Is Dallas Goedert someone that, I mean, even though Zach Ertz is there, you might keep an eye on for fantasy?
For Dynasty, sure, but for redraft this year, not really.
Okay.
You typically have to have a very, very wide open target tree for a rookie tight end to do much of anything.
Right.
In fact, like based on historical production, rookie tight ends are very, very poor bets to produce in their first year. That doesn't mean they're going to be bad players, but literally only a handful of them have ever produced in their rookie season. Guys like Jeremy Shockey, Jordan Reed, Gronkowski did it. Obviously, we saw Evan Ingram once do it. But yeah, I mean, the Eagles just don't have a lot of targets available. Trey Burton only had 31 targets last year. Obviously, caught five touchdowns, and a couple of those came in relief of Zach Ertz
Right.
when Ertz had an injury. But yeah, I'm not really into Goddard too much unless you pick him up off the waiver wire in a game where Zach Ertz missed due to injury or what have you.
Okay. Last thing, Graham, before I let you go. So I'm in a keeper league for, I think it's going on 8 years now. And I've owned Le'Veon Bell since he was a rookie and have not let him go. And so a couple years ago, we do a draft lottery. I ended up landing Ezekiel Elliott. And then last year, I ended up moving up for Dalvin Cook. So we can only keep two players. I just want to get your assessment of my trade I made, because I ended up torn throughout the offseason. Should I move? I got some big offers for Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm a fanboy of Dalvin Cook. I wanted him to become an Eagle in the 2017 draft. I think he's going to be an elite player in the NFL. I mean, he was third in the league in rushing when he went down. So, Graham, I ended up going with Dalvin because I was only offered, I think, a second or some trades. I was offered maybe a second, a third for Dalvin Cook. I ended up getting the fifth overall pick in this year's draft and a third round pick for Ezekiel Elliott, and I ended up keeping Dalvin Cook. Was I wrong to let go of Zeke? Mind you, I am an Eagles fan too, so you just told me to put my bias aside, but I'm scared that maybe that was a factor in this trade. How would you assess my trade?
Oh man, that is ballsy. I like Zeke this year, and I love Dalvin Cook as well. Obviously, it's really hard to grade the trade without knowing the specifics of the league and stuff.
That's true.
But no, I mean, if you're very bullish on Cook, especially now with Cousins in tow and an elite defense, and you think the Vikings are gonna be a team on the rise this year, I get it. But Zeke, man, I mean, he's got like he could legitimately see like 380, 400 touches this year. The Cowboys have basically nothing outside of him.
That's true.
I probably would have kept Zeke and Bell, but I can't begrudge you for putting it out there and going with your boy Dalvin. I love Dalvin Cook too. I mean, he was one of my favorites coming out of FSU too. So
yeah, so I mean, I don't know. You're probably right, and I might regret it early on, but I believe in Dalvin, and I think it was the value. I'm getting a so now I have two firsts back to back. I have two thirds. I don't know.
You go.
So, yeah. But you're probably right. But I made a move. It was not. I wouldn't say all with my head. There was a little bit of heart in play here, but I don't know. I feel like Dalvin's good enough where that plus the two picks I got, I think might end up not having me think what could have been for the next 5 years.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, is like Zeke is obviously very, very young, and the Cowboys are committed to the run, and Dak and Zeke will be tethered together for at least the next 4 to 5 years, for as long as Elliott stays healthy. So yeah, I'm sorry, man. I don't know if I would have made that trade, but I do love putting it out there and like going all in on Dalvin Cook, because he is definitely one of my favorite players in fantasy this year.
Yeah, I appreciate your honesty. I'm a Dalvin over Zeke guy. I know it's probably bold, but I'm going to go with my gut here.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man.
All right, Graham Barfield joining us here from the on the Locked On Eagles podcast. He is a senior fantasy analyst for fantasyguru.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Graham Barfield. Graham, thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Glad we could finally get the pod going. I'm excited for the fantasy season. I'm gearing up for my draft and a lot of good stuff, so we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Louis.
All right, that was Graham Barfield joining us here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, so that was Graham Barfield joining us of, again, fantasyguru.com. He's a senior fantasy football analyst there. You can check out his stuff. Really interesting stuff, I think. I was curious to know what he thought of this offense just because there are so many options. It's who do you go with? I know Zach Ertz is probably going to be someone that's reliable throughout the year. Alshon and Wentz, he doesn't like where their value is. You know, although I do think Alshon Jeffery is going to be a pretty solid contributor to fantasy football. He likes Mike Wallace. He likes Jay Ajayi, which I thought was really interesting. Corey Clement's going to be an interesting late-round guy. There are so many options, and they do spread the ball around, that I feel like each player is going to have big weeks and will probably consistently be a nice option. I just don't know if there's going to be that one or two dominant guys with the Eagles, just because I don't think Doug Peterson's offense will allow for that because of how much they spread the ball around. But it was very interesting stuff. He did not like my trade of Ezekiel Elliott for keeping Dalvin Cook and then going with a first and third. But look, you guys listened to my last podcast where we were talking about what could have been Eagles players that never became Eagles players that you know, got picked up by another team, and Dalvin Cook was that main guy for me that got away from Philadelphia. And yeah, am I a little bit of a fanboy of him? Yeah, but I feel like that fanboyish self comes from me analyzing him when he was coming out of Florida State in the NFL draft in 2017. So I appreciate his honesty, and we'll see how that works down the line, but I'm very confident in my team so far. But yeah, I don't really like taking Eagles, honestly. I thought that was interesting. He doesn't have a team, but it's not even because of a biased thing, because look, I'm an Eagles fan through and through, but I'm also an Eagles analyst and I work in Eagles media, and I'll be objective when I have to be. And so I'm not a big fan right now of, going big on any of these players in the offense, in a high round outside of Zach Ertz. I'm not a person that's going to take Carson Wentz in the second round over a stud running back or receiver just because Carson Wentz is the guy and my favorite player in the NFL. I'm not going to do that. So, but it's not even to that point. It's just the fact that I don't like watching an Eagles game, and when it stems back to the team they're playing. So a few years ago, I owned Pierre Garçon with the Washington Redskins, and he was playing the Eagles, and I noticed he scores a 60-yard touchdown, and I'm saying, damn, like the Redskins took the lead. But then my eyes are slowly creeping over to the fantasy box score, and I see 12 points go on the board for Pierre Garçon, and suddenly that makes it feel a little better. And I don't want that to ever happen. An opposing team scoring a touchdown on the Eagles should never feel. It should always feel as miserable as possible. It should never feel like there should never be a positive to that point, at least if you ask me. So, again, you can follow him on Twitter at Graham Barfield. Really appreciate him coming on the show. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Tomorrow, Justin Grasso makes his debut on the show. We're going to discuss Carson Wentz being ranked number three all time for the 2017 list as the third overall best player in the NFL according to the NFL Top 100 list. We're going to get into that and more tomorrow on the Locked On Eagles podcast. For myself, Rudy Biasi, the host of the Locked On Eagles podcast, and Graham Barfield of FantasyGuru.com, this has been the Locked On Eagles podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow, and let's go Birds.